Let's continue praying for our pastor and the other request that Jennifer, Sister Jennifer. My children have gone through that twice. First, Carlos and Tina in a head accident. I mean, the guy was drunk around the light and he had the kid doomed, and, you know. But I'm glad that God protected them. Just with the scratches and bruises. Then Tina and Monica in another car, you know, the same thing. You know, you don't know who is out there. So every time you leave the house, you better say a little prayer. Bring a little prayer that God keep you and protect you. I think I have so many miles in my odometer. I call it the odometer, you know. Because I have so many miles that I probably stink by now. An odometer, you know. Probably I have gone around the world at least one with all the mileage that I have put in this car case. And, but God has protected me. I mean, not only in the United States, all the traveling that I do, but when we went overseas and mission work, you know, God has always protected me and the family. So, we pray that, that the Lord will bring them all well. And our pastor too. He's out of the main hard part, but he's still recuperating now. You know, the older you get, the harder it is to recuperate. I used to spend some time, a whole night, 24 hours with my buddies running around, put my clothes on, get a shower, and go back to work. I cannot do that now. I spend the night and I sleep 3 days just to make up for one night. I mean, things are not the same. So pray for your pastor, because we're not getting any younger. For sure, not in this flesh, but in something inside me that is getting younger and younger and younger. And that's what the one that I'm looking forward. Amen. So let us pray. Father, we thank you. We adore you. We love you, Father. As we heard that song, Father, we are here because we want to learn more from you. We want to you better, Father. We want to know that's much of you, but we want to know you in everything, in all the faces of our life, not only in the death and resurrection, but also posted in the suffering, Father. Because sometimes that's the part that, that we kind of don't like, but it is part, Father. We know you in the way that you walk, Father, and you suffer and you reject it, Father. And you, the Bible said that you still were obedience. And that is what the whole journey is about, Father. That it doesn't matter what comes, we still obedience to your will and to your ways. Keep us, Father, because that is our desire tonight. Speak to us, Father. We do want to know you better. We need to continue as we sing that song, glory, from glory to glory, from manifestation to manifestation, from change to change. We want to become, to know you, so every time we know you, it is another step forward, not backwards. We are moving towards our goal, towards perfection, maturity. And that is what all this journey is on. The revelation of you, Father, in our life, it is our reflection. So the more you reveal to us, the more we reflect in this journey. And while reflecting the glory, as we saw this morning, your glory in our lives. Like Jesus said, I finished the work. And now glorify me with the same glory that we have before the foundation of the world. And that's what we are here, Father. To manifest fully your glory to a lost world, Father. Help us tonight, this morning, Father, as we go through this teaching, Father. That we just take another step forward, Father. Another step higher today, Father. Let us not leave this place the same way we came in, Father. We love you and we thank you. In Jesus' name we ask you these things. Let us read the scripture before we sit down, like that you are. So, our title, excuse me. I have glorified thee on this earth, I have finished the work which thou hast gave me to do. Well, I didn't want to just leave it there. Because sometimes we want to leave things in Christ. Sometimes we want to leave things in put it all in Brother Branham. But this is what he says, the next verse. Verily, verily, I said unto you, excuse me, he that believe on me, the works that I do, he shall do also. Amen. So you have to work a work that you have to finish before you can say, glorify me now. Even in death or rapture, when that day comes, you say, Father, I have done everything that you had wanted from me. Now glorify. Yes, see? Verily, verily, say unto you, he that believe on me, the works that I do, shall he do also. So we have work to do. A great work than this shall do because I go to my Father. So I don't even want to leave it all in Christ. Because you are a continuation of Christ. Amen. And you have to finish the work that he started. Amen. So it's good to come to church. It's good to sit down. But when we go out there, there's a work to be done. Here we just say, this is where we train you and where we equip you and we give you tools, spiritual tools, so you can go out there and, you know, join the battle with everybody else. Mainly also looking for the last seed. And now, O Father, glorify me with thy own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world. The word was, see, sometimes people use, some scholars like to use this to say, well, see, Jesus pre-existed before the foundation of the world. So they're trying to prove that the doctrine, you know, that God and Christ, you know, and then when he says, let us make man in prayer, see, they were not three God. This is, don't put the Trinity. Because if you want to go that far, then you and I pre-existed before the foundation of the world. Where in his mind. So what that make us? Trinitarians? No. That means that before the world began, we already were in his mind and he already knew us. Yes. Like he knew himself. He created himself first, that was Christ in the creation. And then the word was made flesh. That was the word, the Logos was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory. See, this is God. God wanted to show his glory. God is seeing, nobody has seen God, but God wants you to see him. God wanted to see who he was, what he was, his character, his qualities, his ways. See? He didn't want to stay behind, you know, curtains. He wants you to see him. And I hope this morning that you can see him. We're going to go through that. Beheld his glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. See, God taking on skin. Why? So you can see him and touch him. Like we just said, we beheld him, we touched him, we saw him, we heard him. That's what God wanted to. He wanted to be father of a family, but not just an abstract thing that is somewhere that nobody knows what is it at and nobody has seen. No, God wanted to come in reality. Only so you can see him and touch him and hear from him. Amen. Says no man has seen God at any time. So if we would have left it there, we will be guessing right now. Where's God? Where's God? Which is in the bosom of the Father, he that declare, the Son. So declare means he manifested.
Yes.
Shows the Father and we sophisticates. He says, how long have I been with you? I mean, I am the manifestation. I am the full expression. I am the image of my Father. You look, you see me, you see him. And the same thing, don't leave it there. Okay? That's not how far he went. That was how far he went, then the redemption plan is not, you know, good enough. Because he came to redeem you and I. 2 Corinthians says, for as much as you are manifestly declared. Now, Jesus was declaring God in flesh. But again, I don't want to leave it there. And I don't want to leave it in Brother Branham. He says, for as much as ye are manifestly declared, okay, to be the what? The epistles of Christ ministering by us. So now you became a living Bible. But that living Bible, you know, behind that living Bible and behind the skin, you know, there is a power, there's a Holy Ghost, there's God in flesh again. Because that's what this bride is. It's a tabernacle, you know, of God again. It's a minister by us, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God. Okay? So the letter will kill you if that's all we have. We have to have the Spirit that gives life to that word. Not in tables of stone, but in fleshy tables of our hearts. Amen. You can be seated. So my intention this morning, my purpose, I want to speak about the meaning of glory, glorified. But not only that. We have to speak also about how it will transform you. See, that glory that is in you, that glory that was in Jesus, also is a, has a transformative power. Amen. You know, we come to church and we enjoy the glory. We sing about His glory and we clap and we glorify the Lord. But that's good. That's what we're supposed to do. He deserves all the glory and honor that we can give Him. Amen. But then when we walk out of here, you take that glory. Okay? And you glorify God in your flesh. Because that's what He wants. Jesus glorified God in His flesh. You need to glorify. We need to glorify God in our flesh. Why? By doing the work that is allowed to us. So that's what we're going to try to do this morning. Try my best to. I'm going to finish it probably tonight. I have to finish it. But the transformation that happens through our a spiritual journey. See? This is not going to be, you know, people sometimes think this is just an event in a futuristic time. You know, here comes the rapture, and now took you done, and now took you glorified, because that's what we are predestined. See? We are foreknown, we are called, and we are also predestined to glorification. But that is not an event, you know. Well, when that day comes, God will poop. You change, you glorify, like Jesus said. No, it is a process. It is a process in this journey that will transform you to His glory. Because that is the objective of God, that He can glorify Himself in you. That He glorify Himself in Jesus. See? So, it is not an event that we are waiting for, a final event, a final objective. Oh, I'm waiting for my change of body. The change of body is happening right now. And you don't want to miss it because you don't want to get there and say, what happened? I thought the rapture. Well, the closer we get to the rapture, the more you look like your father. You know, I am the middle child, but I am the one that looks more than my father. Actually, I have some of my mother too. So when I go to Puerto Rico and visit, and people and friends of my father that see me, they say, whoa, you are a speak image of your father, you know, at that age. I said, thank you. Well, you are a speak image of your father. Why? Because you came from his genes. And you are the same image. You have the same nature. You have the same likes and everything. You know, in the mornings I used to, and I still do, for breakfast I eat rice with eggs. I fry me 2 eggs, put it in the white rice that I made yesterday, and I put it all together, put some salt and pepper, and I love to eat rice and eggs. So one day I was home visiting my folks, and my father saw me doing that in the morning, because I took some rice that was left from the day before. And he said, wow, I didn't know you did that. Something struck him. I don't know what it was, but then he tells me, he says, you know, there was one other person that used to do that. I said, who? Your grandmother, my mom. I didn't know that. So you don't know what those genes come through. And you find yourself doing some things that you don't even know why you're doing it. I didn't know what, and I have all the things in me that every time I look at myself, I say, oh, that's my father there. Oh, that's my mother. Because you are a clone of mom and daddy. So this morning, you are a gene, an attribute of God. See? And that attribute will come out. You might not understand why I'm doing this. Well, God knows. God put that there. Amen. So we are a spirit image of our Father. Okay? And we are supposed to do what our Father likes to do. We saw Jesus. This is a model. This is our example. See? We want to be like Him, like Jesus. Why? So we can act, walk, talk, converse. We want to be Messiahs. You know? A small Jesus. And that's their objective here. But it's not going to happen in sometime futuristic. But you know, no. Let's go home. No, that doesn't work that way. Here, the proof of the pudding is right here in your walk every day, in your conversation, in your mannerism, in what you do with what God has chose you and called you to do. See? So, there's many examples in the Bible, all New Testament, about the glory of God. And I want to give you some examples before I get fully into it. So, the first one that comes to my mind in the Old Testament, let's go back. Even though there's many, but there's one example that is really most vivid example that I can bring. And this account was Moses in Mount Sinai, right? Remember that Exodus chapter 24, verse 16 says, "And the glory of the Lord above upon Mount Sinai, and the cloud cover it is 6 days and 7 days, He called unto Moses." Huh, interesting. After the 6 days, what comes? The 7 days. We have been called. We are the 7 days. This is what is happening. That's not living in the Old Testament. It's talking about us. This is a prefigure of our days. Amen. It is the shadow. So in the 7 days, He called Moses. Well, in the 7 days, He called Brother Branham. We are living in the same days now. We're back to the beginning again. It says, "And the glory of the Lord was upon Mount Sinai, and the cloud covered it for 6 days." You know, the first 6 ages were kind of like a foggy mirror, you know. Everything that was happening was not clear, and we had all kind of denomination came out. We all kind of revelation and all kind of things, you know. But now we come to the end. And the word has been restored completely. And I told you, the word is God, you know, revealing Himself to us. Who God is. The word is who God is. You want to know about God? You want to know about His nature? With the God that was in flesh, He said, "You see me? I have talked to you. I have done all the things, and you still don't know who I am." Why? He was the word in skin. The Logos. So the word will declare who God is in your life as well. And the sight of the glory of the Lord, see? We're talking about glory. Glorify comes from the root word glory, see? And the sight of the glory of the Lord was like a devouring fire. See? On the top of the mount and the eyes of the children of Israel. Well, they were scary, probably. It was a scary sight. They got scared with the noise and the clouds and the darkness and the thundering. Yeah, they were scared already to begin with. So they're probably talking to each other. What happened to that guy, you know, that Moses guy? He just took off and he probably just left us here anyway. So, you know, they probably went on all kind of conversation and looking at that far, I said, he probably just got barbecue up there in that mountain. I don't think we're going to see that guy. Let's do something else. And they did something else. And the sight of the glory of the Lord was like the burning fire. And Moses went into the midst of the cloud and got him up into the mount. And Moses was in that mount for 40 days and 40 nights. See, that's the prefigure again, the shadow of Jesus, 40 days and 40 nights fasting. You know, the Lord just sent another one like unto me. See, and here I want to read you in the Amplify, it says, in verse 29, and it came to pass when Moses came down from Mount Sinai with the two tables of the testimony of Moses' hand, when he came down from that mount, Moses was the skin of his face shone while they talked with them. And then here on 29 says, that is amplified, when Moses came down from the Mount Sinai with the two tablets of the testimony in his hand, he did not know that the skin of his face was what? Shining. You know, I know if you go to Puerto Rico and you lay out there in the beach for too long, you know, you turn red. We're going to know where you've been, you know. But this, the brightness of God is even like the sun, even brighter than the sun. And it will burn you. It will only burn the things that is not desirable, but that's all. Because God is a consuming fire. But he don't want to destroy you. He just want to burn that is not him. So you can become him. He says, and he did not know that the skin of his face was shining with a unique what? Radiance. Because he had been speaking with what? With God. See, this is when Moses encountered God. This is in that mountain. The divine presence is described here, you know, that he saw, it was so intense and impacted him in such a way, you know, that he had, his face was radiant, became radiant, reflecting what? The glory of the Lord. And that was a visible sign for the people. See, the people was complaining to begin with. They were complaining when they left Israel. You know, what did you brought us over here to die? Now he is Pharaoh, after all, he's going to kill us, but God delivered them. And they murmur and they complain, what are we going to eat? We have better food out there. We had three meals and warm. We had a roof over our, you know, that we had to work like dogs. That's beside the point, but at least we knew that we were safe. Well, you brought us over here. And they murmur. So God wanted to do one more thing to show them that Moses was chosen. That chosen, not only chosen, but he's vindicating himself of Moses. See, this is not Moses doing, this is me. So he comes from the mountain, his face is radiant. See, and now, after he's finished speaking with God, and he's showing the people, this is what I chose. I have favor in Moses. Okay, listen to Moses. Yeah, the problem is sometimes we listen to everybody here but God. Listen to Moses. And to show you that I have found favor in Moses, look at his face. Well, they got scared. They couldn't stand it. Who can stand the glory of God? So that's what the veil came. See? And we're going to talk about that veil a little more. He has to veil his face because they couldn't stand the glory of God. Amen. So, and sometimes I think this is what happened. This is a good teaching moment here. Let me bring it. Might as well bring it home. I don't want to leave it out there. People are afraid of the same thing that they will save them, the Holy Ghost. Because the Holy Ghost is the presence of God in our lives. And people today, they're scared of that is going to save them, protect them, keep them, that is going to lead them and take them all the way. And they're scared of the Holy Ghost. Of course, there's so many things out there that have been said about that's not right, but forget about all that. The same thing that is going to save them and keep them, they're afraid of it. And they were afraid of the presence of God. They saw that sign. See, and sometimes, you know, we do the same thing. We're afraid. Well, I don't know what, if I get the Holy Ghost, I don't know what's going to happen to me. What? That you fall flat in your face and your feet goes up in the air and you start laughing? Let me tell you something. You won't even be aware of what you're doing anyway. Well, you're going to run around and all your bobby pins are going to snap out and hit somebody in the eye? What? What are you afraid of? The best thing that can happen to any human being is have God in us. Can you imagine that? The creator of heaven and earth in us. What greater, you know, privilege and honor is that? You know? I remember when Brother Finn is preaching one time, that was when I received the Holy Ghost the first time. I was just a Baptist little preacher. Not even a preacher, but and when I went to the first meeting, I'm a message believer. The guy, I wasn't interested so much in how he was talking. I don't know why he was talking most of the time, but, you know, the deacons took me and set me in the front. You know, they said that I was by myself. I went to check it out after somebody witnessed to me. So I went to a meeting, sat down in the same in the front. You know, so I'm glad because I didn't have to see all the rest of the, you know, the long faces and long dresses. Anyway, so it was no distraction. So he finished preaching, and I know, and I knew as a Baptist that it was the Holy Ghost. And I knew that we need the Holy Ghost. But the way they explained it to us and the way they gave it to us, it don't work. You keep spending your life, you're doing the same thing. You know, no victory. You know? So at the end he says, how many want the Holy Ghost? He said, bow your heads. You know, I don't know how many hands went up. My hands went up. Right away. I didn't hesitate. That's what I'm looking for. That's what I want. That's what I need. That's what I've been missing. Well, the rest is history, as we said, right? So, why be afraid? They were afraid. And then, Moses has to cover up. You know, Baal himself. So, as a personal experience, you know, and a teaching moment, you know, that in God, when you meet God, this is another moment of teaching. If you meet God face to face, you remember what Brother Branham said. He said that the experience of the Holy Ghost, it is the person of Jesus revealing himself personally to who? To you. When you come out of that experience, yeah, after a week later, that you can just compose yourself, you know, because it took me almost a week I don't know where I was in La La Land. You could have kicked me, spit on me, slapped me, and I would have kissed you and said, I love you. I mean, that's a lovely experience. Amen. So, you know, sometimes, you know, we just meet God, because that is what the Holy Ghost is actually. In fact, that's what we're all looking for. We want to meet God. I can tell you about God all I want to. I can preach to you until I turn blue, Brother Andy and everybody. You can memorize, you can read. But until that part that you are reading and you are like, it don't become part of you, it don't mean anything. He has to. That is the end result of all these things. God wants to dwell in flesh again. He don't want to stay in the pages of the Bible. He wants a flesh how he can live again. Amen. Like he did in Jesus. Amen. So, if you get the Holy Ghost, and some of you might say, well, I got the Holy Ghost. Well, when you got the Holy Ghost, when you became face to face, because that's just what it is, face to face with him, and he said, I'm here. I'm me. How did you come out of that experience? We see how Moses came out of that experience with a radiant face. Amen. You know, that experience will change your life. Amen. That experience will change the way you look before. And this is after you receive the Holy Ghost. It has to change. You cannot receive the Holy Ghost and you have the Holy Ghost and be the same person you were before you got it. Something has to give. Something has to change. Moses, in the presence of the Lord, it was a change. And the change was reflecting God. And if you have the Holy Ghost, one of the things that start happening now, you don't reflect Eli anymore or your flesh. You reflect Jesus Christ. So when people see you, if you really had an experience with God, just like Moses, they look at you and say, I don't know, there's something about you today. What is so different today? It wasn't that way yesterday. But if that change hasn't happened, then I could doubt if anybody that said I have the Holy Ghost. Because the Holy Ghost brings changes. Yeah. Amen. The Holy Ghost brings a new attitude. The Holy Ghost brings a new life. Amen. The old life is gone, is dead. Now you have a new life. Amen. According to the Word of God. So just examine yourself, okay? It's all I'm saying. Because you don't want to get to the end and find out that it wasn't so. It will be too late. Make sure that you do. Okay, have the Holy Ghost. Because without it, we're not going to make it. Amen. So that impression of the Holy Ghost, see? As a consequence of that encounter, that is what happened to you and me when you encounter the living God. You cannot be the same, period. And I'm believing in this thing because and you're looking at me like, this is not foreign stuff. It's been laying here all this time. I just happened to you know, God to show these things. Let's not leave it all, you know, in somebody else. This is a personal walk, you and God. And before you can walk with God, God has to be in you so he make you walk. Because without him, you know, Brother Man said, yeah, I'm sorry, but most of the things I do, God had to push me to do it. And he said one time, I don't want God to push me anymore. I want to do it. Amen. Willingly. Amen. See, we can push you in church. We can push you. Come to church. Do this. Do that. This is your responsibility. This is what you need to be doing. And we can go on and on and on and on and on. But until that guy gets in there, after the Holy Spirit comes to you, that's when we stop telling you. Because now the Holy Ghost is going to tell you. And that's not two Holy Ghosts. It is the same Holy Ghost that I have, you have. And we cannot be doing two different things. The same Holy Ghost in me will do what God wants, his will, his word, and the same Holy Ghost will do the same thing in your life. If it's not, then I will question again. In my life, line up with the Word of God? I make mistakes. I'm not saying that I do. But right away, quickly, make it right with God. Yeah. Sorry, and then move on. Did I offend somebody? No, quickly. You know, make it right. Amen. You cannot come into the presence of the Lord with sins. Amen. Remember what you've been told in this message, you know. Make sure you take care of your sin before you come to those doors because it will be revealed to you somehow. Make sure everything is right. When those people got in that line and went in front of Brother Branham, they better make things right because God is going to show it. If they don't, God will show. But I said, if he don't show me, it's because God already forgave it. You don't want to come to church with sin, and I'm not talking gross sin, adultery, fornication. But I'm not talking about none of that stuff. But what about a lie? A little white lie. What about stealing? Well, borrowing. Okay? With no return, anyway. What about holding somebody? You borrow and you didn't give it back. What about, could be money, could be anything. What about offending a brother or sister? See? You cannot come to this sanctuary just like that saw Moses' face. Because the glory of God is in this sanctuary. Amen. See? And you don't want to come like that. You want to make all things right. Amen. Before. You know why? Because you can crash the service. Because God wants to show himself again. God wants to speak to us. And one person can crash the whole thing by not putting those sins under the blood. God has made a way. It's not something that you have to do. That is impossible to go back and maybe make. Sometimes, you know, when I came into this message, when I came to God, actually not this message, when God saved me, he forgave me and he lifted all my burdens. I mean, I remember that day. The first thing came to my mind, I got to make things right. First with my mom and dad, because I gave him a hard time. I was the black sheep that called the family. I really gave them a hard time. I talked to them back. I was unrespectful. But at the same time, I was the guy that they used the most. My other two brothers, I don't know where those guys were at when it was work to do in the house. I lived in a farm almost. I had to clean the pig pen. I had to feed the chicken. I had to go over there and collect food with my father, you know, in the house. The leftovers, they put them in the bucket for the pig. I had to go over there and take out the cow, whatever. Then my mom, sometimes when I grew up, I became 14, he says, son, I got to go work Saturday, so will you clean, you know, the bathroom for me, and will you clean the outside, you know, so I don't have to do much when I come back. I said, sure. I don't know where my brothers were. I always found myself doing this thing. So I was the worst one, but I also was the one that helped the most. See? So I was in both ends. So anyway, I don't know what we went there. But anyway, we had to make things right when you come to the store. There's no more playing time. This is it. You know the world's going into chaos. You know this is the end. We are just coming to that. It should be nothing. When we come to the present, this is why we came to church, not to hear me talking. You came to glorify the Lord. It had nothing to do with me. I'm just another tool like you are. Okay? So we had to make things right. Okay? Because if you had the Holy Ghost, you cannot act the way you acted before the Holy Ghost. If you used to drink, you don't drink anymore. You used to run around, you don't run around anymore. You used to do this or that. We don't do that anymore. But what about the other stuff? We don't lie. You know, we don't misrepresent the truth. You know, we don't offend. And if we do, you know, the problem with our mistakes and errors is not because we want to do it. In fact, I don't desire. When I make a mistake, I say, Lord, it wasn't my intention. I didn't want to do it. It's not a desire in my heart to do these things. I'm sorry I'm believing in this thing. But see, Lord, I said, but I did it. But it wasn't because I wanted to do the error and the mistakes willingly. I didn't get up that morning and say, I'm going to steal a bank today. No, I don't meditate on what I'm going to do wrong next day and what I'm going to get away. No, it just happened. But you know what happens? Bad choices. We all got to make choices. You make choices just like Jesus had a choice to go to the cross. We all have choices. And depending on the choice you make, it will be a mistake or it will be the right thing, depending. What did you base the choice? As Christians, we base our choices in you know, the will of God in His Word. And if you do it right, with the right intention, with the right motive, it has to come right. Right? If you're going north, you know, and you got everything set up to go north, and you got the map, and you got everything figured out, and blah, 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 you know, you go north. You're not going to go south. You go south, and you don't look at the map, because you don't know where north is at, or south. I don't. You know, I have to look at the map on my GPS, see which way I'm going, and I got a little thing in my car that says you're going north now, and then when I go south, they turn, you know. That's what I know where I'm going. So, we need to clean up our lives. Right. If we have to. And we have to. We make wrong choices every day. Some of the choices that we make, we don't even pray about them. It's look good to me. Whooper, let's do it. And then, ooh, wow, this is not what I expected. Well, what did you get? How much can you figure out? Choices based on the will of God. And if it's based on the will of God, then we'll come out right, because that's the right way to do it, and it has to come right. Amen. Second Chronicle, let me get to my next example. Don't worry about it. When I get to a stopping point, I stop. I don't have to do it all today, we'll do it tonight. So, now, let's take Solomon. Okay, and the dedication of the temple. Amen. Okay, I just finished talking to you about your temple. But what about this church? You know, In that day, you know, when they finished the temple, they consecrated everything in that temple. They consecrated the music instrument, the utensil. They consecrated themselves. They consecrated they consecrated everything. And when you do that, you know, God will come down. See? And he came down in such a momentous way that they couldn't even preach anymore. They couldn't even play anymore. This cloud came, you know, and it just took over. Amen. This says, now Solomon had made an end of praying, he says. The fire came down from heaven. And some of you have seen the fire of God. I haven't. But some of you, God has opened your eyes to see that lake of fire. From heaven and consumed the burnt offering on the sacrifice. So when you come to church, do you want God to burn the sacrifices so you'd leave? See, that's why you come to church, to meet God. Amen. See? And God will consume the sacrifice. We don't come to church just to sit down and look at each other and, okay, it was a nice service. You have a participation to do. Amen. That's why we on you all the time about worshiping the Lord. Don't sit down like a pig on a log. You know, if you don't want to raise your hand, that's fine. Just raise your voice. If you don't want to raise your voice, then raise your legs. And if you want to raise the whole thing, fine. Then you take off, you know. You didn't come here just to be entertained. I'm not saying you guys. I'm preaching to some of the church. We came here so you can glorify God in everything that you do, so that he can accept your offering, burn it, and then we can partake of his glory. That is your part. You didn't come here just to sit down to see what, you know, that's the anticipation when we come to church. God, well, I cannot wait what you're going to do. Yeah, but you are part of that doing. You cannot expect everybody else to do the work so you can enjoy it. That don't work. It's not going to work here. But that don't work with God. Now, usually I pray, Lord, bless my brother. Bless my sister. Amen. Even if you don't bless me, I'm going to here make sure that I do what I need to do. And you bless my brother, my sister. And if for any little tiny chance, you know, I get wet, I get a little drop of that blessing, I take it. Amen. But you are here so you can join together and make sure we don't live here without an experience with God. Are you tired of having an experience with God? Well, oh, I've got 40 years in the message. Well, are we done? Because if you were done, you would be out of here. When we come to church, when we come together as one, we're supposed to experience the glory of God, and you're supposed to bring it. I mean, not the pastor, not Lucas, and not the musician. You need to bring the presence of God here in reality. Or did you just came to look at me? Well, I'm not worse to look at anyway. You're going to waste your time. I wish you were someplace else. Look at somebody else, better than me. Somebody that can speak better than me. You have a responsibility. You got choices you need to make. You need to sit down and go through your choices. What he wants you to do? What is the word that he gave me to finish? If nothing else, well, I don't have a gift. Well, if nothing else, come to church and come and be active, proactive in service. Maybe so somebody else can get blessed. Because if you love your brother or your sister, that's what you want. Solomon made end of praying. The fire came down from heaven, and he consumed the burnt offering and the sacrifices. And the glory of the Lord filled the house. Do you want God to fill this house? Why do we pray so much? God, we love your presence. Because the Shekinah glory, it is the presence of God manifested. And don't you think God want to manifest himself in this church? Yes. I mean, what do you think we are here for? God wants you to come so you can make a way for him to have the liberty to show up. With attitudes, we're not going to show up. With problems, we're not show up. We're not loving our brother. You know, we have to make our lives right before we come to those doors. I want God to consume our worship, to consume our offering this morning. The sacrifices of our lips. Because that makes a way to see His glory. That means we have been accepted in the Beloved. And when all the children of Israel saw how the fire came down and the glory of the Lord, you know, upon the house. I've seen the glory of the Lord in this house. It gets milky. You know, you feel the Holy Ghost and you think, and you start, you know, getting nervous, but that nervousness is not you, it's just the presence. And then you start wondering, whoa, you know, the ambient completely has changed. Because when God is in here, everything changes. The atmosphere completely, it gets charged. And you feel it. Well, listen. Well, don't let that become common. That's what people tell you. What the devil wants to tell you. I like to have it every time I come to church. Yeah, but if it gets too common, no, it will never get common. Like me preaching, it never gets common for me to be nervous. Because if the day that I stop getting nervous, then that's the day I need to stop. Because I don't need Him no more. But I need His strength. I need His everything. Because this is not me doing this. This is Him through me. And I cannot do it without Him. I can do nothing. So when we come to church and we want to see the glory of God, you know, it is on you, on me, on the choices that we make when we come to church and how we come to church. The right mental attitude, the way we come to church, the way we worship and the way we do everything. And the priest could not enter into the house. Wow, can you imagine? We had just to, we all running out of here. Whoop, let's go. Let's go and witness to the world. Because the house is on fire. Somebody called the fire department and here comes the fire department. Everybody out. And that happened before. The house was on fire and the guy outside seen it and called the, it wasn't on fire. It was the fire of the Lord, the glory that came down on the church. Don't you want to have that all the time? And then you watch the news the next day, you know, 29, whatever, 01, Sao Pantano was on fire, but it was not fire. Well, here was a real fire anyway, but not talking. But that fire only says something that is a real fire here. Amen. And when the children of Israel saw how the fire came down and the glory of the Lord, some of you people are scared of this. You know that? That's what, if a service gets too too vivid, you know, some of you start getting nervous. Because you don't know what's going to happen. And you're scared what's going to happen. Why? We live for this stuff. Not only in church, every day. That's what we live for. We want God to take over. We want to be the expression, the reflection of His glory. That's what we want. At least that's what I want. I'm tired of reflecting myself. There's nothing to reflect anyway. All that is dead anyway. We need to reflect life. Because in that glory, in that reflection, is a life power, giving power. Amen. That's why Jesus, when He raised Lazarus, said, you're going to see the glory of God. See, that glory is alive, giving power. You sick, you won't be after that. If the glory of the Lord comes down, all your problems are over. Anything that you have need, God will supply it. In fact, you came over here grumpy and now you live with a smile in your face. And when all the children of Israel saw how the fire came down and the glory of the Lord opened the house, they bowed themselves with their faces to the ground upon the pavement and worship. I like to see that here. That the presence of the Lord comes so strong that we just, boom, you know, from there we hit the ground. Amen. Oh, but we don't need that. I want it. Yes, I only need another guy to be, or another sister to agree with me. When two can agree upon something, it will happen. The rest of you, you out. The only God and me is majority. You guys are out. I mean, what is more important in our life to enjoy the blessings of God? What is out there that is more important and more joyful and more better than enjoying God's presence? Tell me. And if it is, it's death at the end. Because the way of that, you know, it's death at the end. There's no life out there. It's life here. When all the children, then it says the payment and worship and praise the Lord, saying, for he is good, he's merciful, endure forever. My. One of those services that the time is no time no more. You don't even know what time, and you don't even care if you had the beans cooking. Let them burn. You know, burn, Holy Spirit, on me, and let my beans burn too. Who cares about beans? When you're entertaining the God of heaven, the Creator. Nothing else is in, I mean, it loses his you know, flavor. Anything else in the presence of God. The king and all the people offer sacrifice before the Lord. So, you know, that is not the end of the story. That was the beginning. When God came in, the party started. See? But they came in and they wanted to make sure it was one. That was their mentality. I'm anticipating, Lord, to see your presence in this service. Maybe I will not see it with my eye. Maybe I will not touch it. But I will feel it when it comes. I will know when it comes. Because if he comes, then you will know. He don't hide. And he don't make it so mysterious. No. If he comes, you know. You know. Another thing, the Ark of the Covenant, that will be another example of the glory of God. Because the Ark of God was in the Holy of Holies, you know, in the tent and also in the temple. So, and this represented the throne of God in earth. God wanted to be a God and want children to be there, his people. And he wanted to be among people so he can guide them and lead them and help them all through the journey. God wanted to be a part of that as a father, take care of the children. So the tabernacle was his throne in earth. Okay? And from there, he commanded in the day with the cloud and night with the pillar of fire. Okay, up, down, let's go, move, rest. You know, I like when he gives the command. You just pack him. That's it. He says, representing God's throne in earth and the covenant that he, and the relationship that he made with Israel. Okay? So in Hebrews chapter 8 says, now, in the things which we have spoken, this is the sum. Conclusion. We have such a high priest who is set on the right hand of the throne of the majesty in heaven. Well, of course, we know that God enthroned himself in that tabernacle. That's where he was at. That was Moses when he wanted to talk. That's where he met God. And we come to all the way to the temple in Jerusalem, and we know the high priest was the only one that could go once a year. Oh, man, that, can you imagine? Some of you will be happy once a year at church. There are some people that go to church once a year or twice a year. But they're more scriptural than you and I. No, anyway. Once a year, go in. And that was seen. No one else allowed to go in the presence of God. See? For their sins, you know, to atone for their sins. He said, the throne of majesty in heaven. So, a minister of the sanctuary. But now, the God that was in the Old Testament, the prefigure, that tabernacle, now he took another tabernacle. Emmanuel means tent. So now God takes another tabernacle, Jesus Christ, and enthroned himself on that tabernacle. It says, the true tabernacle, our Lord Jesus Christ, with the Lord pitch. He made us king to step into it because God wanted to have fellowship. He wanted to be felt. He wanted to be heard. He wanted to be seen. He wanted to be touched. He didn't want to be a God of, you know, that is invisible. He says, pitch on that man, says, for every high priest is ordained of offer gifts and sacrifices, wherefore it is necessity that this man has somewhat also to offer. So, for if we were on earth, I should not be a priest, seeing that they are priests that offer gifts according to the law. We serve unto the example of the shadow of heavenly things. See? And Moses was admonished of God when he was about to make the tabernacle. See, he not only brought the Ten Commandments in those 40 days, he got the whole picture of what he needed to do and the tent and everything. He brought all those instructions, not only the table. He said, and Moses was admonished and God when he was about to make the tabernacle, for see, he said, he that thou make all things according to the pattern shown in thee in the mountain. So going back to the veil. So the glory of the Lord is shown in Moses' face, and he has to veil. Well, that is a shadow of what happened when you get to the temple. You know, they made the temple in Jerusalem, and there was the Holy of Holies. It just continued. God was enthroned himself. But at this time, God could not show himself, you know, in flesh, not yet, but he wanted to. So the best thing is to be with man, enthrone himself with the children. See? And let the children come to him at least. But he wanted more than that. The desire of God was him to come to the children. So they had the temple and it was veiled. Nobody could go there, but God was there. But in the day that Jesus Christ died in the cross, that veil was rent. You know? Because now God has another tabernacle that's going to go to heavenly places. See? So God, finally, he's no longer in the Holy of Holies, but it's another tabernacle. Has taken another body of Jesus Christ to intercede for you and I, right, for our sins. See, before, they didn't have nobody, but just the priest went there once a year, but nobody else could. But now, it's rent, it's open. And now we all have access to our Lord Jesus Christ. Every minute, every second of the day. How much you want it, he's there to fill you. It's up to you, it's a choice. See, he make this according to the pattern show that the in the mount. Now, 1 Corinthians 6:19. What? Know ye not that you are the body is the temple of the Holy Ghost? Now, so another temple. You are also. See, that's not living only in Jesus. Because has his dwelling not only when he was in earth, he was dwelling in that tabernacle. But when he left and went to heavenly places as the resurrection, he sent that spirit back. The same that was God in flesh, sent that to what? He said, not your body in the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of God, and you are not your own. But you was bought with a price. So now you can walk hand to hand with God. Before you couldn't. You had to have somebody else to go and do the things for you. And then when Christ was there, the tabernacle changed. But he said, I got a better deal. You know, God said, this is, okay, I know Jesus is there and everybody follow him and they do it and all the disciples, you know, are guided and he had to preach to them to keep them straight, you know. But I got a better way to do this. You know, I mean, I've been teaching this guy for 3.5 years. And look at Peter, still making mistakes. Huh? I got a better way to do this. What about if I just leave and send the Spirit, and instead of ruling them in flesh, I rule them from the inside out? So now, that tabernacle resurrect, and then send that same Spirit in you and me. That is the Holy Ghost, that is the office of God in you, that the same way it was in. So now, we don't need to go to the holies of holies. If you have a need, you don't need to wait a year. Because you're carrying the glory of God in you now. And if you need anything, all you have to do is just talk to yourself. They're going to see that you are praising the Lord in the car, lifting your hands, and the car is nobody's driving it. Yeah, somebody's driving it. And they see you going crazy and screaming. But you're having a good time because you and God are having a good time. See, we don't have to wait now. God has made himself accessible to each one of us. See, there's no longer, let me go and sit in the feet of Jesus, even we do that spiritually, like the, disciples. But God said, I have another way that I can teach you and show you the things to come. I have a way to lead you and guide you. Yeah? Because that's what God was looking for to begin with. He wanted to be a part. He didn't want to be some outside power. He wanted to be inside. Because the change comes from the inside out. And you need it. And that's why you need the Holy Ghost. If the Holy Ghost doesn't come, it will be no change. It will be a change for the world. But it's the Holy Ghost in you and me that is going to bring you all the way to that glorification. It's a journey. But everything that we had need from earth to heaven is already in us. God has tabernacled himself in flesh one more time. Prophets like, Isaiah and Ezekiel, they all had visions. And they all saw the glory of God, transcending, to a reality that you and I have today. See, those prophets, they look for that all their lives. But you and I have what they were looking for. See? We are privileged people. We are blessed. We have no excuse. That's the only part of it. You have no excuse. You can make excuses if you want to. Peanut butter, anyway. You can make any excuses you want to. But they're excuses. Because that God that is in you when you come to church. Jesus went to church every day. That God that is in you wants to walk right. That God in you wants to direct you and lead you in all good things. He will never leave you and forsake you. Like your friends did when you were in a need. He will never leave you. Amen. And one of these days, when this journey is over, the presence of God will be fully realized in our lives. That's when the day we're going to maturity, to perfection, Ephesians 4. That's what the ministry is here for. To bring you to that point where you no longer exist, Eli, but now it's God in me. The hope of glorification. If we have a hope, that is the hope. Let's just roll right quick to the, let me see what time I have. I have it done. Let's now come to the New Testament. Because in New Testament, this concept takes a new dimension completely. See? God with them, but now in the New Testament, everything changes. Because now it changes through particularly to the life and ministry of Jesus completely. That's God tabernacle in flesh, God in skin. That's why he won. And that is a different ball game like it was in the Father with them. Now it's in flesh. So everybody saw the glory of Jesus, saw the manifestation of God. This is what God is. I am a reflection of what God is. Right. Believe me, he says. And that through his ministry, you know, Jesus was God character, God quality, God attributes, God traits. That was God in flesh. But again, don't leave it there. John 1:1 says, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon and our hands have handled of the word of life. For the light was manifested and we have seen it. God wanted to be seen. God wanted to experience you, and you need to experience him. It works both ways. That's why he, in the garden, he said, I'm going to do that. When Adam took the Eve and walked in the garden, and he looked and said, one of these days, I will do that. Why? Because he wanted to experience, see, you. Because how are he going to help you if he cannot identify with the feelings of your infirmities? He suffered everything that you suffer and more. That's why he can relate to your pain and to your suffering and to your needs and to your prayers when you get down. Because he went through that. He was reproached by his own people. Destitute. And he did all that just that he can be your faithful high priest. Amen. See, the high priest that used to go in that, it reminded me maybe at a preacher or a pope or something like that they think they are good and the rest of them are bad. You know, well, I'm going to have to do this for these knuckleheads, you know, because they just cannot get it right. But that's over. Christ is in us. We can't get it right. If we surrender and yield our life to God, we can't get it right. At what time? We didn't. That's forgotten. Forget about that. It is not yesterday. It's today and tomorrow that we need to look forward. A new life. For the light was manifested and you have seen it and bear witness. See? Show the eternal life. We was with the Father. It was manifested unto us. The Gospel of John, see? Well, here particularly, he's poured a lot of the glory of God. I mean, we can spend days and days in the New Testament. But I want to go to one more account. Let me see what time I got. In the New Testament, and that was Mount Transfiguration. And our brother spoke about that, and I'm going to use the same verses, Matthew 17. It says 1 through 7. You know, the brother already preached, so I don't have to preach. I just have to point to you a few things. So in the sixth day, Jesus taken Peter, yeah, the sixth day, right? After, that was the seventh day, bring them up into a high mountain apart. He was transfigured before them. He was transformed. He took another form. Not the same time you and I, we're going to take another form. Something in us is working. This is not the form. This is corrupted. This will never inherit. We are going to be the glory of God in us will transform us from glory to glory to glory to glory until glorification happens. But it's a process, and I'll get to that process tonight probably. It is not a one-time thing that happens in event in time. Either we are there or either we are not there. It says transfigure, says, and your raiment was white as the light. His light. When God created himself in the beginning, in the Logos, it was light for the first time, and he called that light day. It wasn't the sun, it was the S-O-N. God creating himself in flesh, the Logos. And the next thing we see is light. Because whatever he is light. We don't walk in darkness. We're not children of the darkness. We are children of the light. So if it's on us, then we have light. Light that we can, share. The word of God, it says, it's a lamp unto my feet. So you can see where you're moving and where you're going. See? That light will illuminate your way. And it will bring others that are lost to that light. Because they're lost in the darkness. Right now, there's millions of people and billions of people that we decide to sit in where you are, in your shoes. They are lost and undone in darkness. And they're wishing to get out of that chaos. But you got it all. Let your light shine. So others can come to the light and glorify The Father, not you, because it's God in you. You have a work to do. Not only to play instrument, not only to sit down in church, you got a work to do after you leave these doors. God don't end here. God begin here. And behold, there appeared to them Moses and Elijah talking with him. They then answered Peter and said, "Oh, Jesus, Lord, God, for us to be here, if thou will let us make here, you know, a tabernacle, three tabernacles, one for Moses, one for Elijah, one for you." While yet he spoke, behold, a bright cloud, another bright cloud again. See, God always comes down in a bright cloud. And when he resurrected, we saw a cloud overshadow them. And behold, the voice of out of the cloud said, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him." God vindicating himself again. See, not that we disbelieve and we doubt it. We know who he was, but God is vindicating. I found favor. Just like he found favor in Moses. I have chosen him. I have chosen Moses. And today, it goes beyond that. I have chosen you to be the light of the world. You have a work to do. We need to find the last one. Now, as our brother pastor said, you know, we go out there and we shine our light because we're looking for someone that is lost. But in going that way, another person is lost and sees the light. Well, we rescue them too. We tell them about, we witness to them too. Even though we were not looking for him, but we make ourselves available. If nothing else, this is what I tell myself. I am here. If nothing else, God has done all this for me, so I can intercede for my family. That day, I'm going to sit in by side. We're going to sit in the throne of God, and we're going to judge the world. Amen. I am here so I can intercede for my family that day. Amen. Because I don't want them lost. Amen. And then books and books and books will be opened. Do you think God has seen my mother? I'm going to send it to hell because she didn't believe this message? My father? My brothers? But I'm there. I got to make it. Because if I don't make it, they will make it. Amen. And I have to live a life that is worthy of his calling. Amen. Because I want to make it for them. I will not leave anybody behind my family. My mom loved me. My dad loved me. God chose those vessels to come together to produce me so they can take care of me. That's worth something. Because God wouldn't know that, would give me some other ones. My brothers, I testify to them. Aha. But, you know, they don't respond the way I want them to respond, but that's okay. Not everybody's going to receive the message. But let them go as far as God's going to take them. The rest of them, in that day, I take care of it. Because I'm going to judge my family. Did you want to see your family lost? No. They said books, and many books were opened, and according to what they knew, and what they'd done with what they knew, and whatever revelation they had, any of that, and what they did with that, you know, some received eternal life. They will not be part of the bride, but they receive eternal life, and they will be in the city. As servants or whatever. I don't care, alone, they have eternal life. If that is all, I will sacrifice myself and do the best I can. Surrender myself, yield myself, humble myself, whatever I have to do. So in that day I can say, amen. Come and enjoy the blessings of the Lord. So if nothing else, that's worth it to me. I will not leave anything behind. I will intercede to Jesus for my family. I'm interceding right now. Don't you think I'm going to do it there?
So,
just a few more things and then we'll let the ref up tomorrow. Transfiguration here, talking about the appearance of Jesus, his brightness, because he was revealing the glory that he had before the foundation of the world, see? So in this moment, you know, Jesus also represents the unique relationship that he had with God. He was God. And not only his relationship, but the role that he played in the whole thing. So, Transfiguration, it became, this event, it was a bridge between the Old Testament and the New Testament. See, the promise of the Old Testament becomes the fulfillment of the New Testament. And this is the bridge. Mount Transfiguration was the bridge. Now, the beginning was Mount Sinai. See? That was the beginning of this bridge. But all that bridge came all the way to this other bridge. And this bridge was the, you know, as we said, between the Old Testament and the New Testament. So what I'm saying is, it was Christ, it was Moses, and it was Elijah. Right? Pointing to Moses, the first in Mount Sinai, the first event, and then Elijah, but that Elijah represented the Elijah also that was going to come today. See, and Jesus is the one that bridged these two. It's all Jesus anyway, it's all God. So, Hebrews 12 says, but we are come unto Mount Zion. This is what we are today. Zion is the bride. It's another mountain that is going to come. We have Mount Sinai, Mount Transfiguration, and then we have Mount Zion. And that's the culmination of everything. Started in a mountain, it will end in a mountain, and this mountain is Jesus Christ that bridged the Old and the New Testament. See, it says, and unto the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to the innumerable company of angels, to the general assembly and church of the firstborn, which are written in heaven, and to God the judge of all, and to the spirits of just men made perfect, that you and me. God made us perfect. Just man made us perfect. He's the one that justified us. Sometimes the Bible said, if God justified, who can even speak or come against? God is the one that justifies. So I'm saying this, I'm bringing this because God brought this in my mind, because some of you have some little things with somebody else. God already justified you. You ain't got no way to bring any charges. He has been justified, fully justified. You know, that's what I call Christians that live in their head. Christianity is living in the head, not in the heart. You know? But I think, well, I don't care what you think. And I don't care what I think. I care what he thinks. And if God has justified a man completely and accepted, who are we to point? Instead of going that way, just go this way. Let's start with ourselves. Because that's what Brother Brown says. That's a way to bring anything to the table. If you have something, you know, let's start with the one that is accusing first. Let's check out your life first to see where you stand before you point finger to somebody else. We made mistakes. We get wrong choices. I'm not, that's fine, but God justified that. And if you are forgiven, he don't even see it. Why would you see it? Anyway, just a bonus. And to Jesus, the mediator of a new covenant, and the blood of a sprinkling that speaketh better thing than the neighbor, see that you refuse not him that speaketh. For if they escape not who refuse him that spake on earth, much more shall not we escape if we turn away from him that speaketh from heaven, whose voice then shook the earth. But now he hath promised, saying, yet once more time I will shake not the earth only, but the heavens. And this is what's going on. It's a shaking. And what's going to fall is going to fall. But if you are grounded in Jesus Christ, if you are grounded in the will of God, if you are grounded in this word, you will not fall. Amen. There's no way we can fall. God did not save me to lose me. But there are some people there that they think they are. And this word yet once more signifies removing all those things that are shaken, as all things that are made, that those things which cannot be shaken may remain. You and me. God is shaking. I see all the shaking going on. But I'm not worried. Amen. Let everything fall. Amen. Because I won't. Let the atomic bomb explode right here in front. Well, 1 minute here and the next minute in the presence of the Lord. Because I cannot fall. Removing those things, says, we are for receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved. What is the kingdom of God? In your heart? You can't shake it. Satan cannot shake it. He cannot even move it. He's not allowed to. He's not in control. Let him do whatever he wants to do. And you tell him, boo, devil. You are not the one in control of my destiny. God is in control of my destiny. So whatever you're doing, it don't define my destiny. Let him do it. He cannot redefine you. Those things that remain, check. He said, wherefore, receiving a kingdom we cannot be moved. Let us have grace whereby we may serve God acceptably. Now, Andy just finished preaching a good sermon. I'm not going to preach it. About being accepted in the beloved. So I don't even have to appreciate that. That would be unreverence and godly fear. So we have been accepted. So if we be being accepted, who can accuse us? Who can point fingers? He already has determined that. Not even Satan. We made it. You know? We're just waiting for the change. And that's the part that you had something to do and choices you need to make. He's not going to make you. There are choices that you got to make every day. And we're going to do that tomorrow. Tomorrow. Yeah, tomorrow you won't be here. I'll be by myself. And we're going to take it from here. Let me reach you this so I can set up the platform for tonight. I'm going to reach you a few things, and then we'll be out of here. Give me 5 minutes. Corinthians, 2 Corinthians, Paul speaks about the gospel of the glory of Christ. Not only the gospel, but that light that will transform us. It's all to Paul's thing. See? From glory to glory, we go from glory to glory, you know? We go through changes, to changes, to changes, to changes, until they find our change. See? But that's something that is a process. Now, that's it. That is the Holy Ghost in us, God in us, the transformative power that is in us. But we have to let go and let God do that change, you know, because the final change, if we don't come and we die, the final change will be there. The day that he comes, then, with that expectation that we went down, we come up. But that is not something that you're going to, well, when I wake up, I'm going to see if I made it or not. Good luck, buddy. There's nothing to doubt here. There's nothing. I mean, I know I made it. And I go with that expectation. And when I wake up, if I had to go through the battle of death, I will wake up. Because I expect him. See, he started the work and he will finish it, not me. All I have to do is just surrender to God, to yield to God and let him do the work that he already started in me. You have nothing to do with this. The choice is surrender your body. Now, let me, as we close in here, the glory of God, as we've seen, it is the Word. The Word of God is the image of God. So that's why the work is working in us, because that is the image of God. And if we surrender and we let that Word take over, people should see the glory of God. Amen. See? Like Moses. The manifestation of the full expression of God. when we come together, you know, of course, Jesus had all. You know, whatever was in God, he emptied completely, no measurement. But we have proportion. But when we come together, we become the full expression of God. So that's what I say. Without you, we come to church. I need that part, you know, because God put you here for a reason. So we need each other so we can bring the full expression of God, you know, and bring him down. I by myself cannot do it. I'm just a little portion. But I need your portion, and I need your portion. Come to church. I need your portion. Because every time we don't come, the dynamic changes completely. Then we got to work harder to pull him down. Or to pull him out. Because he's not up there. He's here. See? Okay, let me read this, and then we close. You are Messiah. John 16:14 said, he shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine and shall show it unto you. So what are we talking about? The Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost we take from him, you know, and we show it to us. So the Holy Ghost is the one that in us, that is Christ in us, that is going to glorify me. So the glorification process already started. Matthew 5:16, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good work. It just depends how much light do you have, how much the glory of God is in you. Because the glory of God is bright, it's shining. See how much revelation do you say you have? Should be the amount of light comes out of you, reflecting that revelation. That's why revelation is so important. Because revelation is reflection. Yeah. You cannot reflect something that you don't know and you don't got and you don't understand. So the more revelation, the more understanding, the more know, then you shine. You reflect that life. You reflect Jesus Christ in your life. But it has to do with revelation. And that's why we come to church. And that's why we go together. We are seeking more. More. You saw more him. To know it more. So you need a revelation to do that. And that all to the Holy Ghost. And then you can glorify God. It says, Galatians 2:20, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer who I live. I'm crucified. But you wasn't there to be crucified. But your sins were crucified. My sins were crucified in the cross. That part of us is dead completely. That body of sin is dead. It's crucified. So if it's crucified and he died, and he paid the price for it, it says over here, see, but no longer I am who live, but it's him in me. Amen. Let go and let God do that part. And he wants to do it. That's the thing. God wants to do that part. We are the one that limit the hand of God. But Christ who lives in me, see, I no longer live, but Christ that lives in me. And the life now that I live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Now, let me read you the last quote, and we go. It says, then when God was made flesh and became the Messiah, then if we can yield ourselves to be the anointed like he was, we become Messiahs. You become little messiahs to the world. You become little gods to the world. Your light will shine. See, little lights shining in the darkness. That's what the church is supposed to be. Light, little anointed ones that God's church. That's God's church. His standing light is the light of the Messiah. Risen Christ in his people, the anointed one, carrying forward his light into a church age. Sometimes it's more... almost goes completely out. Then it comes back again. God's anointed one. God, Messiah church. A Messiah means the anointed one. And it means king. Then if the church is anointed by the Messiah spirit, it becomes a lesser, but still a Messiah because he has his, God, light reflecting his power. Oh, I like to see a church in this day that is reflecting the power of God. Ain't that what we came to do? That's what I want. That is our end objective. Before we leave here, we want to reflect the power of God. Amen. It won't be a sick person among us. Amen. It won't be a needy person among us. Amen. I'm looking forward for that day. It has to happen. It has been spoken. Amen. Before we leave here, I believe we're going to experience a full expression of God in the body. Because God is going to come and display her. She will be the power of God in flesh again. This is not something, you know, nice and easy. And this is the whole enchilada. This is the whole change. Not just me, as a family, as a body. That's what we're looking for. This is not just what man doing. At the body of Christ. So we have to be in one mind and in one accord. The trouble today, we are organized the church to death. And we not organized instead of Messiah light. We have got Roselite, proselyte, and all the kinds of light, but we need Messiah light. So when you walk out there, and when you go to school, and when you go to work, and what kind of light are you reflecting? What kind of light your life, your walk is reflecting? Yeah, the light of my revelation. So if it's the right revelation, it will spark. That's what people tell me. I got a revelation on this, and they say, well, I don't see no sparks. When some people start telling me their personal revelation. But when I heard this revelation, it sparked in me. It light up my eye. I mean, amazing. Is that okay, what the church needs today, the light of the Messiah. It says 67. Now that is true. God called Messiah. God called us, and we become kings and priests unto God, like Jesus was God's high priest. We become a lesser priest. Jesus was God in the fullness. Dwell in him that shine forth the expressions of God to the world. And this is where you and I are going. This is what we are, and we are going to fully express. See? We will be the full expression of God to a lost world. He says, Christ reconciling the world to himself. He started the word. You and I continue the work of reconciling the word, the people, to Christ, to him. And as God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, God came into his church and anointed him, anointed him some messiahs. Oh my, do you see it? 68. Then the same thing he did in his church, the same power he had in his church, and his church became his dominion, and he is king over this dominion, and we are king and priests. Offering a spiritual sacrifice to God. The fruit of our lips. Told you that. Talked to you about that. Giving praise to his name. Oh my. There you are. Messiahs. Messiahs. Leader Messiahs. Leader anointed ones. Anointed of what? The main one. Anointed of the great one. Shall we stand? Let us pray. Father, you are so awesome. Yes. You are so good. You are so faithful, Father. Father, we want to give you the right to have the liberty to come in our life and do whatever you want. You pay the price for. We don't belong to us all. Father, come to every heart that is in this building. Have your way, Father. We surrender to you. We surrender to your will. We surrender to what you already have spoken and the fulfillment of all this thing that we have read, Father. We want to be, again, God walking in flesh and shining the light for, in a world that is lost, Father. Father, we love you this morning. We love your word. We love one another, Father. And we just pray now that you have your way. Father. And let us fulfill the word that we have heard this morning, Father. Let us not fall in deaf ears, but let it fall in the ground, Father, in the heart that is ready, prepared to receive your word and produce fruits of our labors, Father. Fruit that is pleasing to you. That's all we want, to please you. And the only thing that can please you is a life that is well lived, Father, full of the Holy Ghost and your word. Thank you, Father, for this opportunity of speaking to your children. Father, I am nothing, but with you I am something. Maybe I don't have nothing, but with you I got all I need. And this morning, Father, may you be glorified in everything that we do, Father. That everything, it doesn't matter what step, every step we take may glorify your name in this earth. Father, because you deserve the glory and the honor. You are the biggest, the greatest, and the better. There's no one like you. There's no other God. We love you, Lord. Again, Father, those that are missing, the sick, afflicted, still, Father, we want to voice your word here in earth. And this is who we are. We are your voice in this earth. Voicing your will. Touch them, Father, so they can be with us as soon as possible, because we miss them, Father. They are part of this congregation, and without them, Father, things change. Father, we give you the glory, we give you the honor that you deserve. Not only in words, but our lives should do that. And I want my life to bring that to you this morning. We love you and we thank you. In Jesus' name, we ask you all these things. Amen.
Gates of praise into your sanctuary.